So you've seen the headlines. China hacks the New York Times. The nominee to be defense secretary speaks about cybersecurity being the big national defense challenge in the 21st century. The president says over and over again, technology is the key to solving energy problems in America, the key to addressing climate change and regrowing the U.S. economy. Technological innovation is also said to be the key to law enforcement, education, medicine, perhaps even more efficient tax collection. Well, that'll be great. That would mean that the chief technology officer of the United States has a daunting, all-encompassing portfolio of responsibilities, at least in theory. Todd Park, long an innovator in the healthcare field, veteran of tech startups with an economics degree from Harvard, is the CTO of the USA. Todd Park, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello, John. Thanks so much.
So it does sound daunting what it is you're doing, but let me just say in biographical terms, it is the case that you gave up the lean, flexible private sector to try to educate the dull-witted federal government?
Actually, I would frame it differently, which is that the CTO of the U.S. job was created by President Obama. And in that role, I function as tech advisor at the White House and as a kind of tech entrepreneur in residence. So what I'm really doing with a lot of my time is running effectively an incubator inside government, but one that doesn't birth companies. Instead, it births projects, project teams that work at incredibly high speed, lean startup speed, to apply the power of technology to advance the president's priorities, job creation, economic growth, advancing public safety, healthcare, education, et cetera. So it's actually been an incredibly entrepreneurial experience.
And when you got to the federal government, one of the things you saw immediately was that big data is a huge unrealized asset, or at least unexploited asset, within the federal government that's already been paid for.
That's right. So we launched a whole effort called the Open Data Initiatives Program. And this is an effort to, in a nutshell, liberate data from the vaults of the government while rigorously protecting privacy, data that could be used as fuel by the public, by entrepreneurs and innovators to create jobs, improve lives, and advance national priorities. It was inspired by what the government's done in prior eras with weather data. The U.S. government collects a ton of weather data, and what the government did decades ago is it started making this data downloadable electronically by anybody for free. That was then used as fuel to power the Weather Channel, weather.com, iPhone weather apps, and much more, which improved our lives in all kinds of ways and created jobs, grew the economy. The government had a similar play when President Reagan in the 80s initiated the process of opening up civilian and commercial access to the Global Positioning System, or GPS, which had been built for the military. And as you know, GPS has now been used to fuel everything from navigation systems to precision crop farming to location-based apps, which has added tens of billions of dollars annually to our economy, improved our lives in all kinds of ways, and created a lot of jobs. And so the point of the Open Data Initiatives program is to run this play again, the weather data, GPS play again, but with vast additional reservoirs of government information resources sitting in the vaults of the government that taxpayers have paid for and that we are, in effect, giving back to them as fuel for innovation.
Give me an example of how you're working in fields that are maybe counterintuitive to the idea of tech in law enforcement, in maybe some human services, human rights even applications that we wouldn't think of immediately.
So one of the things that's been just a phenomenal part of my experience in government is that we're actually being asked more and more to apply tech in places where it's not necessarily intuitive that you would, or it's not necessarily obvious that you would. We're being brought in early in the stage of thinking about a problem or opportunity to actually look at, well, can innovation applications of tech be applied to help in this situation? So for example, we've been asked to scrub in on how to leverage tech to fight human trafficking. We've been asked to scrub in to figure out how we can leverage tech to help improve healthcare for veterans. And in each of these cases, we've found ways or finding ways to do this, collaborating with folks across government and across the private sector, and it's incredibly exciting.
Let's talk about one of your Presidential Innovation Fellows and the Blue Button program that's really part of this effort to help veterans access healthcare.
Yes. So the Presidential Innovation Fellows program is a program that we started last summer. And in a nutshell, it brings amazing private sector tech innovators into government for 6 to 12 month tours of duty to work with our best innovators on game-changing solutions. One of the projects of the first round of fellows is called Blue Button for America, and we brought in amazing fellows who are working with an incredible team at the VA led by CTO of the VA, Peter Levin. And basically, Blue Button is a capability that Peter and team at the VA launched a couple years ago that, in a nutshell, enables veterans to go to myhealthyvet.gov, log in, authenticate themselves, and then download a copy of their own health record. And what the Blue Button for America team has now done is advance that capability tremendously, making the data downloadable to veterans much richer and much more clinically useful, actually running an open contest where 230 designers across the tech world competed and developed the best prototype of a truly human-readable, downloadable health record, with the VA implementing the winning design soon, and expanding the number of organizations beyond the VA that actually are giving people the ability to download their own health records wherever they might be. It's been incredibly exciting to watch.
All right. Well, there's plenty to talk about here, and we've got to go at this point. But I'm glad to know that what your job is not running around looking for old copies of Microsoft Word 5.0 and rooting those out. You're already in an upgrade situation, it sounds like.
It's the most remarkable experience I've ever had to be working here right now with the amazing folks that are trying to advance the ball on behalf of the American people.
And that's not hype. That's not hype. I mean, I hear private sector people trashing the government all the time. You are someone who's had great experience in the private sector. The most exciting experience you've ever had, that is not hype.
It's not. And here's why. First of all, I've discovered that it is possible to be entrepreneurial in government. There are extraordinary people in government who are very entrepreneurial. And Google pitches people when recruiting them about the opportunity to make change happen at scale. Well, I think that's something the U.S. government has as well. We have the ability to, if you are a mission-driven entrepreneur, to make beneficial change happen for the American people at scale. And I think that breaking down of walls between innovators and the private and public sector is going to be key to our future.
All right, Todd Park. Well, I guess you better get back to work.
Well, it's great to speak with you, John.
Todd Park, White House Chief Technology Officer. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.